Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Scripture in Black and White. We're thankful that you've been joining us here in season three. I'm excited to be here with Bobby and Michelle. Yep. Bobby?
I'm always excited to be with both of you. So really grateful for this opportunity. Hey, we're going to talk about dignity today. You know, when we think about identity roles, the categorization that people put us into, or when we think sometimes of like when Satan gets in our own head and teaches us that we have no dignity, really being aware of what it means to be in Christ and to find our identity and our dignity in Christ. Michelle, talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I think that the world wants to put us in these categories, truthfully, so we have shame. You know, I am my past. I am my failures. I am, you know, those things. And so then we try to counterbalance it, right, by all of the things that we're good at. Well, yeah. I'm successful here. I'm successful there. I'm successful. So that balances out the things that I feel ashamed about, right? But then there's this area right here that is centered on Christ. And so when we're centered on Christ, it brings us dignity because we're being clothed with him. It's not us anymore. Like we choose to die to self, right? So when we are baptized and we choose that Jesus is our Lord, we die to self. That's part of it. And so in doing that, we're bringing on Christ, and in him comes the dignity, comes the idea that I am not defined by my past, whether I did it or somebody did it to me. I'm not a victim anymore. I'm not this who the world says I am because maybe I'm biracial, maybe I'm not educated, maybe I have learning disabilities, maybe I'm infertile, maybe whatever it is that has brought us that shame. God says, no, you're not that. You're who I am. You reflect the Lord.
What's so interesting about what you're saying is that I'm reminded in Genesis chapter 3, when God comes into the Garden of Eden, the man is hiding. Man says, I was naked, and so I hid.
Yeah.
And so he was letting shame define him.
Exactly.
And overwhelm him.
Yeah.
That's what Satan wants to happen to every one of us. That when we fall down, when we lose the dignity of what we talked about last time, when I am less than living the way Jesus would live, when I sin in ways that, well, like, I guess any sin is wrong, but it seems sometimes, you know, some of the sins that we commit are just weightier. Yeah. And it's so easy to get into this, you know, I'm nothing. I'm rubbish. I'm garbage. You know, how could I have done that?
Well, maybe we're born into it. Maybe it's not even something we've done. Maybe we've been victimized. Maybe we've been traumatized.
Yeah, talk to us about that. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, what I mean is what we talk about in the book is an idea of this one person was born biracial back in the 1930s.
Okay.
Not okay. Not okay at all. And so he automatically carried shame. Every time he looked in the mirror and he saw not white skin and not dark skin, he saw in the middle.
Wow.
And he carried that shame everywhere. And so what did that shame do? That shame brought him to violence because he was always defending himself, always having to defend every single thing was a slight against him, right? And so he's defending himself. He's then medicating with alcohol. And then, you know, and it was this spiral, right? But it all stemmed from just the shame of what he was born into. Maybe somebody's born into poverty. Maybe somebody's born with parents that are not upstanding citizens, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We let that define us.
Yeah.
And then that, and that's
so, it's so easy to do that. In fact, let's try to make this real. Several years ago, my father became a follower of Jesus after I did. He had struggled all my life with alcohol, and he became a follower of Jesus. He stopped it for years, but then he slid back into it. The people in the church loved him enough that they actually did an intervention. My dad was super humble. He received it. He went to a treatment center a week after the intervention event. He was at a treatment center for about a month, and he came back and he had a family meeting with us. He sat us down, myself and my sisters and my mom, and he told us that when he was around 10 years of age, he was sexually assaulted by another man. As a kid, he didn't know what to do about it. It haunted him. He lived with shame from that moment forward. My own father ended up developing behaviors, not just around alcohol and all that. And he just said that he came to trace it all back to how he reacted to the shame of that event.
Yeah.
And so he lost his own dignity.
Yeah. Yeah.
As a human being made in the image of God and had to recover it.
Yeah.
So this is real stuff.
It is. It really is. And most of us can trace back something, you know, whether, again, it was something that we chose. Maybe we didn't really have knowledge of what we were choosing at the time. But when we look back, we're like, yeah, I did make that bad choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was just part of who we were, you know, I mean, part of what was the hand that we were dealt, so to speak, you know. But I think a lot of Christians aren't willing to surrender that shame to Christ, to go, actually, he died on the cross to take it all.
Yeah.
And so, but I'm not willing to let go of it because that's my identity.
Yeah.
That's who I am.
Yeah.
I'm a victim.
Yeah.
You know?
I like what you just pointed out. Not only does Jesus going to the cross take my sin, but he also died and is crucified in the most shameful way possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
He takes my shame too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a guy in another scriptural reference in the book of Judges.
This is I'm really glad you're doing this because this podcast is
scripture in black and white.
We're going to get to a passage here.
Jephthah. He's mentioned in the book of Judges. God calls this young man Jephthah. And when you look at the description of him, at the end of the line, at the end of the verse, the text says that he was a son of a harlot. And that immediately takes this, you know, God calls him a great man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot.
Yeah.
And what you're pointing out is this idea of, you know, dignity and shame, or honor and shame. There's a reaction to either of them.
Yeah.
If we're honorable, we're trying to keep pushing that. We're trying to keep going in that direction. Great. But if there's shame, you either go down this path of, well, hey, it is what it is. This is who I am. Or you go into the, I'm going to try the extreme other way, which can lead down a path of destruction as well.
Yeah.
There's all these self-medicating and coping mechanisms that we use to try to overcome that. And the only way that we can get that right is through Christ.
And it all goes back to that Genesis passage, right?
Yeah.
And whether we're medicating or we're running, we're all hiding from Christ.
Absolutely.
We're hiding from God
and
going, no, I can't surrender this to him. I can't fall on my knees and just go, Lord, this is who I define myself as, and I need to change that.
Yeah. So it takes hearts grounded in truth. When my heart is saying to me, you know, I am this terrible thing, it's saying, no, I'm in Christ. I'm the forgiven. I'm the beloved. Well, wait, what you did X, Y, and Z, or you acted, that's not my real identity. That's me losing my way. Who I really am is I'm in Christ. That's my identity. Before we go to Colossians chapter 2, I want to talk about something that we men can do. So I believe that inherent within our wiring by God is this desire to be worthy of respect, but also to be treated with respect.
Yeah.
It's part of the psyche of a man. Again, we can overgeneralize, but by and large, men are motivated by respect.
Yes.
And one of the things that can happen when it comes to dignity is if I'm not treated with respect, I can respond with anger. I can respond with disregard of the other person. But when my identity is in Christ, I can realize even Jesus Christ himself was not respected.
Mm-hmm.
And that my respect is something I aspire to, but I don't require. And that I'm okay being humble and finding my identity in Christ, the humble one, who was mistreated, unrecognized, and disregarded. Talk to us about
when you talk about respect. Well, respect carries with it the idea of acceptance and rejection, and we don't deal well with rejection.
Yeah.
So you go back to Genesis chapter 4, dealing with Cain and Abel. Abel is accepted.
Yeah.
We understand why, but the rejection that Cain had. Wait a minute. It sends him in a rage. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And so when we look at how society operates, there is a certain access that you get with wealth and power and prestige and position.
Yeah.
You get that.
Yeah.
And I want that.
I want that.
Yeah.
I want that respect.
Yeah.
And so I'll do whatever it takes to get that. But it also, the flip side of that can lend into a cycle of destruction if I fall. Because when we fall, sometimes from those heightened places of power, prestige, and power, when we fall from that, now we're into this, and that there's the, I can't even dig out of this.
I can't.
And that's why through the book and these discussions, we keep pointing back to even Christ didn't have a reputation. He didn't have the finest clothes. He was homeless, technically.
The book of Isaiah says he was despised. And we esteemed him not.
And we esteemed him not. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Like he was nobody that physically we're going to look at and say, hey, that's the guy.
It's a winner.
However, him walking out what God called him to do. I don't speak unless the Father tells me to speak.
Yeah.
I don't go until he tells me to go. That is why, he is.
I like the term holy confidence.
Yeah.
In holy confidence.
Right.
You know?
I like that.
Right.
Yeah. Let me just say, even myself, I've experienced times with my wife. I want my wife to respect me. I want my kids to respect me. My grandson, we started playing chess. He's 6 years old. And I'm like, that kid's going to beat me in chess. You know what I mean? But I want him to respect me. I think it's really easy for a man. And I can be with national gatherings. And there is a part of me that wants to be respected. And I think a part of that is still God honoring as part of the wiring. But when I expect to be respected, when I require of other people, my wife, and where I get offended, or psychologically, I can be tempted to punish my wife or my children or whoever, for not respecting me. It's undignified. Because a Christ-like man imitates the humblest human being who ever lived.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus.
Yeah. Let me share this real quick. The enemy, Bobby, I can speak from a man. We'll get a woman's perspective. But the enemy plays on that.
Yes. 100%.
He plays on that with us. And, as I was listening to you talking, I'm thinking, I mean, we're good friends. I know. On the one hand, in this arena, you're Dr. Bobby Harrington, right? But then you get back home and it's the trash. It's like, wait a minute.
Now. It's like, Bobby, how many times do I have to ask you?
Right. And so the enemy plays on that with us. And that's where we have to go back to the higher.
Who are we?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's that servant leadership, right?
A sinner, just a sinner, a fallen man saved by grace.
That's only I'm a child of God, right?
Yeah.
And that what that will do is, in whatever arena I'm in, it keeps me humble to know whatever title, the alphabet before and after your name, Christ, he didn't have any of that stuff. Yet he lived out what God called him to live out. And so it doesn't matter what, but I can speak, men, we've got to look back to Jesus, the author and finisher.
And I just, Michelle, I want you to jump in, but I see it in myself that I can feel that way. And I have to catch myself. I see it in a lot of young men. Mm-hmm. They desire to be respected. Mm-hmm. I see it sometimes in the whole racial conversation.
Sure.
A rightful desire to want to be respected and the past trauma of feeling we haven't been respected. And we all have to be brought back to being reconformed to the image of Jesus.
Amen.
He was humble.
Yeah, I think in that shame place, it's hard to do ourselves. You know, when we're in that dark place, whether it's being disrespected or shamed from our actions or who we're born into, to try to talk ourselves out of it is next to impossible. I mean, it really is, because all you can see is who you look back at the mirror. And so I think it's so vital that, number one, of course, we're looking at scripture, but we have to be speaking scripture to each other.
Yeah,
I have to tell you, Bobby, who you are sometimes in Christ.
You do.
You know, I have to tell my kids that, yep, you failed that test. You probably should have studied more. But you know what? It does not change your standings in my eyes or in the eyes of the Lord. And that's all that matters.
That's right.
You know, and so I hear women's stories all the time. Like, literally, that's what I do 24/7 practically, is hear women's stories, right? And they're telling me the deepest, darkest, shameful parts of their lives.
Yeah.
And the best thing that I found I can do is to tell them who they are in Christ. To go, I am so sorry that happened to you, or I'm so sorry you made that choice, but this is what I can tell you as truth. You're a daughter of the King.
Yeah.
You are made in His image. Yeah. You are there to reflect His glory. You know, all of those things. And even when I get a text from somebody that's down, literally my response is usually, who are you? Tell me who you are in Christ, when I'm trying to teach them to learn it themselves, you know? And then they have to repeat it back to me. Just the same things that I just told them, you know, 2 weeks ago. And I think that's vital in this idea of dignity, because when we are in that place of shame, it's so hard to dig ourselves out of.
Man.
You know,
and that's why God's plan was that we're part of a body of Christ in the local church, where we speak the truth to each other in love.
Yeah.
We're in discipling relationships. In fact, the truth of the matter is, we don't want to, like, this podcast is not about just promoting a book or something, but the book and the podcast are a tool for discipling relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So
Conversation starters,
just talk to us a little bit about having material like the book that you've written on identity.
It is so important, because we, as disciple makers, we can go, I want to disciple women. I feel like I'm in a place where I'm ready to disciple other people. What do I do? And having done this now a minute, foundationally, identity is the key. Identity is the key, because everything else is going to flow out of that. You know, who I am as a mom flows out of my identity in Christ. Who I am as a wife, who I am as a friend, daughter, everything flows out of that. And so to have material to be able to sit down, and it's so readable. I mean, we are not writing for PhDs.
No.
We are writing to get it read pretty quick.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. And to talk about it in a coffee shop. And that's the important part, right? We can actually have conversations.
To help people to be able to define and to understand where that foundation is.
Yeah.
There are those who don't understand that's what they're doing. They don't understand, you know, the mom. They don't understand why they feel so low, because their kids can't do. It's because you may have your identity in your role and not in Christ.
Yeah.
Or those who are struggling with oppressor or success, failure. This will help you to understand that. And now that we get it, we can now work our way back to Christ.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Anthony, I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 2. And, walk us through this, especially if you could address the whole oppressor framework that everybody in our world is being discipled into, and how it doesn't come from scripture. It's actually contrary to scripture. Here's what Paul says. Just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. So the foundation is, hey, I have allegiance now. I'm in Christ, and I have allegiance to Christ as my Lord. So just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him. Listen to this. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Then he says this. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ.
Yeah.
I'll start there, Anthony.
So I'll start at the end of that. The only reason that those philosophies and those human traditions, the only reason that they take hold of us is because they're palatable to us. Like we relate to that. It sounds good.
Yeah.
It feeds the thought that I have that is not of Christ. Same guy, flesh. Paul tells us that we have to capture our thoughts and bring them into subjection to Christ. Yeah. So there are thoughts that we all will have that will be errant. Okay. Yeah. They're not right. They feel right, but they're not right. Well, then if somebody comes along and they have a philosophy that goes with this thought, errant thought that I have, it makes sense.
Yeah.
He's talking about it. She's talking about it.
Yeah.
It must be. And we've got to strip that back through all prayer here, saying, no, I don't want you to be taken by anything like that. You got to find it rooted in Christ.
Yeah.
And that. That now deals with, you know, there are those questions that we have. Why am I here? Where did I come from? But one of those questions that we struggle with is, what do I do with my grief? What do I do when I feel shame? What do I do when I feel frustrated? And the answer is, I gotta go back to Christ.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, there's a whole philosophy, psychology, whole track out there that will feed that anger.
Yeah.
Let me say this too, Bobby. If I'm angry and frustrated in life and I am fed a philosophy or I'm fed a dynamic that causes me to look at you as an enemy.
Yeah.
Now what Satan has played on in me has manifested in how I treat you. How I view you, how I view everybody, and that's what he wants. He's not here. He's wanting me to not look at others the way that God would have it intended. Yeah. He wants you to look through that false narrative, and that's what creates the issue.
Yeah. So, if we can make this a little bit personal here, I hadn't planned on this, but I think it's relevant because some people could be still not connecting. With what are we saying about the oppressed and the oppressor? You and I, again, have developed a friendship, and over the years, we've had conversations about the trauma that of the African-American experience. Oftentimes, perpetuated by white people, white ministers, where there's a lot of trauma. And if there is pain and trauma in that background, talk to us about that and how that fits into this philosophy that's dominant today in our world.
So a tendency with most people in where we kind of get some of our strength, yes, it comes from our faith, but a lot of our strength as we come up naturally comes from our heritage. We look back. There's something to the Harrington name that gives you a little, you know, I'm a Harrington, right? You get that. So as we look back, we can feel some of the pride, but we can also feel some of the angst of those previous generations. If there are images, if there are shadows of that experience presently, the tendency is to go back to that. So here we are again.
Yeah.
And that frustrates. I know, you know, growing up experiencing racism, I can say initially in a vacuum, it was just confusing. Just on this, it was just confusing. Like, why would you do? But when you start looking back, there is a past that our country has. And, but if I'm not careful with contextualizing that, I will put on these young people what they didn't even have anything to do with. And now I'm feeding into what the enemy wants me to feed into.
Right.
So now I'm dealing with, oh, you do that because you're this and you're just like your dad or you're just like your granddad. And it will perpetuate.
Yeah.
Our past It's messy, it's muddy, and that's all of our past, right?
Yeah.
But I have to look at that in a glance and contextualize that so that it does not manifest itself in our present. I have to look at this through the lens of Christ. And it, for me, has been a work because there are scars.
Yeah.
Okay? And as I often say about scars, scars remind me that I have been hurt, but scars also remind me that I have been healed.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Anthony.
By
yeah.
his wounds, yeah. we are healed.
Yeah.
But we can overcompensate, right? Because of those wounds.
Yeah,
we can. So in my life, my mom was oppressed as a woman in the family. She wasn't allowed to finish high school. She wasn't allowed to go to college. She wasn't allowed to do all those things. Her brothers were. And so growing up, she was like, oh, you will do this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you are strong and powerful. Yeah. You are, you know, so she made, you know, woman, hear me roar kind of, you yeah. know, kind of a childhood.
Yeah.
And so I grew up thinking I could have it all.
Yeah.
I could have the big power career. I could raise my kids. I could do it all under my own power
yeah.
too. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and it was a compensation really from the traumas of her childhood,
yeah.
you know? And so she wanted to make sure we tipped the scales back in the yeah. proper direction. Right. Until, you know, I became 35 and wait, what? But you have to do this alone. This is not okay, you know, but it really did. But it's that idea of overcompensating.
And that so much of it comes back to the opportunity to be discipled
mm-hmm. sure.
into exactly. what God wants.
Yeah.
Let me keep reading from Colossians 2. It talks about how Christ is the head over every spiritual power and authority. And then it says, having been buried with him in baptism, so it's talking about our conversion,
yes.
in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead when you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive with Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
So notice the identity piece there,
yeah.
the dignity piece. Hey, I've been made alive with Christ. I'm literally, spiritually, mystically yeah. Yeah. alive with Christ.
Yeah. But I did have to die to self. I had him buried.
That's right. You had right. to yeah. repent and yeah. say, I can't do it. Can't yeah. do it my yeah. own way.
Sure.
Yeah.
And now I've been raised up with Christ.
Mm-hmm. It's not an and.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we a lot of times want it to be an and. I want to keep my past stuff.
Yeah.
I want to keep my identity of, you know, being traumatized, yeah. being hurt.
Yeah.
And I want to be a new creation yeah. in Christ. You're like, well, it doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm dead to all. Yeah.
The link yeah. to that goes back to Moses. Some one of those had to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that I can
yeah.
live out. And, mm-hmm. and we can't have the and.
Right.
It's not me. And
yeah.
I've got to die to self.
Yeah. And Saul to Paul, so, same thing, right?
Yeah.
He had to.
So if we can just finish up with this on the dignity piece then. So I can live in a world, I'll just say it this way because it may surprise some people, but there's a lot of negativism put on white men today. Mm-hmm. Very close friend of mine literally just quit a major corporation where he was a director because, quote, he was a white man, which is a terrible thing in the way he was treated. I know women can often mm-hmm. feel that way, that we have all these categories out there. And those of us who are in Christ, we transcend that by the power of God, where we say, that is not my identity. I am in Christ. I may happen to be a white man. You may be a black man. You may be a woman. Those are all secondary to our primary identity that we are in Christ. And that is an extremely dignified position.
Yeah.
Anthony, yeah. I'll let you close yeah. this out.
One of the things that crystallized that for me is a part of a parable that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15. Jesus talks about a woman who lost a coin. And you say, well, how does that relate to this dynamic? Well, coins are minted with an image. And that image reflects its value. And no matter how long that coin is lost, it still maintains
yeah.
its value. And so for those who are watching, you say, I've been struggling with identity. I've been dealing with shame. I was born into this, et cetera. You were made with the image of God, in the image of God, and you are valuable to Him. And no matter what the world may say about it, look at it, et cetera, you still have that value to Him. Listen, we thank you for sharing with us on this episode, and we're looking for you on the next one. Share your thoughts with us. And if you haven't, subscribe so you'll get more of this kind of content. Thank you for following us on Scripture in Black and White.